Okay, we'll continue on over in Galatians. And Paul's been writing to the saints there, concerned about those false teachers that would come in and add to the gospel. And we've been in chapter 3 there of Galatians. And Paul had asked the Galatians to reflect upon their own faith, their own experiences. He wrapped that up in verse 5, and he said, "He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" And Paul's contrasting the works of the law and the hearing of faith. He's contrasting law and faith, and particularly as means of justification, as means of right of being made righteous. And so he sets forth then the example of Abraham, beginning in verse 6, and we've looked at these. And because these Judaizers had come in and said, except a man become a Jew, he can't be saved. I mean, it's all well and good that what happened to you, but, you know, you need to add to that. You need to become a Jew. You need to be circumcised. You need to come under the law. And there's a lot of that that still goes on in so-called Christianity today. And so Paul sets forth this example of Abraham because these Judaizers had said, we have Abraham for our father. You know, Abraham was circumcised. You need to be circumcised. In verse 6, he said, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. As we pointed out, that happened before God gave the symbol of circumcision to Abraham. Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. And that thing that was accounted to him was not his righteousness or not his belief, but what was accounted to him was the object of that God-given faith, which was Jesus Christ and his atonement. And the Lord testified to that during his earthly ministry. He said, Abraham saw my day, and he rejoiced in it. And so Abraham believed God, and it was accounted, or it was imputed to him for righteousness. The righteousness of Christ was put onto Abraham's account. And then down in verse 7, he continued on and says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Those that are of faith. And we noted there the use of the preposition of. They're of faith. He said those that have faith or those that, you know, work up a faith, you know, you're of something. It's like you're part of that. It's like you're part of a group. Those that are of faith, the God-given faith, the faith of Christ that the elect receive, they are recipients of it. It's not those that have faith or those that work up some faith, but those that are of faith. It's a particular group, a description. And they're not saved because of faith, they're saved unto faith. And we looked at how Abraham's faith grew, you know. At first, he said, well, let Eliezer be my line. He said, let Ishmael be my line. Finally, God gives the fulfillment of the promise in Isaac, and God says, I want you to take Isaac out and sacrifice. And Abraham, it says, he got up early the next morning. His faith had grown to the point, and we're told in the Hebrews that he was confident. He didn't know how it was going to work out, but he was confident that if God had him slay Isaac, that he'd raise him up again. Because God said, I'm going to give you the fulfillment of the promise in Isaac. And God's going to do what he says. And so Abraham's faith had grown tremendously through the years. And hopefully ours does as well. But it started out as just this little wee bit thing. But it had come from God. It's part of God's providence and plan. It's not that God gives you something that's imperfect, or, you know, it's through the experiences of life that our, that God brings us through, that our faith sees that growth. You know, we get from point A to point B. God could just, I guess, pick it up and just make it happen. But it's the process, it's the experience of getting there that makes us who we are and what we are. And that's what God did with Abraham. But the point, again, he continues to make, God accounted him righteous ever before circumcision. Circumcision was a sign, was a symbol of that covenant. The circumcision was not the covenant. It was a sign and a symbol of it. Same thing as the ordinances that are given to the Lord's church, the baptism and the Lord's Supper. They're signs and symbols, but they're not the actual thing. The actual thing is what Christ did. That thing that Abraham saw and rejoiced in that day. And this is, again, the description of they that are of faith. In verse 8, said, in the scripture foreseeing that that God would justify Abraham through faith, that is, that's being the instrument, not the cause. And so God employs that instrument by giving God the faith of Christ to the elect. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham. I don't know how it all worked and exactly how much Abraham knew and understood, but he knew there was a coming Redeemer. He knew that his seed was going to fulfill the promise of God, would crush the serpent's head. He knew, and I suppose Abraham knew a whole lot more than that, too. How much does it take? As much as God gives you to take and reveals to you. That's God's doing. But we're told right here that the gospel was preached unto Abraham, saying that in thee shall all nations be blessed. And that went all the way back to Genesis 12. Even before the episode in Genesis 15 where God had said to him, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And so God said, I will give you a seed. And in that seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And again, if you reflect back on the proto-evangel in Genesis, where it speaks of the seed of the woman. There's going to be the seed of the woman, and God's going to use the seed of Abraham that ultimately brings that forth. You know, the virgin birth. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I think we finished up last week as we reflected on these verses in Revelation 5. And they sung a new song, saying that thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us. Redeemed us. We'll get to that a little bit more as we get on that word us. He'll redeem everybody. He's redeemed us. And hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation, and people and nation. Every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation. God has an elect that we don't know. The Ethiopian eunuch was out there in the desert. God sends Peter to go to that Roman centurion. God's elect will hear and receive the gospel of their salvation. Out of every kindred, tongue, people and nation. But, you know, it sounds kind of like the kumbaya diversity thing of today. Brother, that's not what it is.
That's right.
I'll explain it to you. Because And you think, because you've heard it so much, you would think, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation and creed, oh no, it doesn't say that. There's one way. There's one way. Jesus Christ. And that's why the gospel was preached before to Abraham. And that's why Abraham saw the day of Christ and rejoiced in it. There's only one way. There's only one Savior. He didn't select them out of every a kindred and tongue and people and nation and creed. You cannot approach the true God, you know, through somebody named Muhammad or Allah or any of these other false religions that are about. Thou hast redeemed us out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Abraham saw that in his day, and he rejoiced in it. And then we continue on in verse 9. So then they which, look how it's worded here again. And so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And those which have faith, or those that exercise, those which be of faith, you know, those that are in that group, that set aside electos, the chosen of God, the people that were given Christ in the everlasting covenant, God gave him a people. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Why? Because God had already ordained it to be so. And the Gentiles there in Galatia, which truly be of faith, they're blessed with Abraham. They're blessed with, and he was called faithful because he had the faith of Christ. And they're blessed with faithful Abraham. And he had received that blessing. He had been declared righteous. Never before there was circumcision. Never before there was some external right. And in fact, before God, that happened in that everlasting covenant. In eternity past, but in time, he was declared righteous to his own heart and to the world that surrounded him. And that happened before circumcision. They're blessed with Abraham, who in that sense is their spiritual father and their fellow Gentile. Abraham was never an Israelite. Israel doesn't come around until a couple more generations. Abraham was saved by the grace of God. He was surrounded by pagans. His family were all pagans. They weren't all good Jews. They were pagans. They were Gentiles. And God called him out. The scriptures tell he called him out and he brought him to a different land. He separated him. God separates his people. And none of this was because some external rite. Not because of circumcision. It's not because of baptism. It's not because of anything else. And what Paul's seeking to get the saints here in Galatia to focus it, take their eyes off themselves and put them on Christ. I mean, once you start, and these things, many of them are right in their place, and it's like the law, and Paul talk about that, you know, it's, the law is not a curse, it's a blessing, but all that it can do for us is, if we try to use it as a means of justification, is to curse us. But the law is a blessing, it reveals God's will. You know, we're accountable to God to obey His revealed will. But we can't. Not perfectly. I'm getting ahead of myself, but we'll see where Paul talks. Not perfectly. And if it's not perfectly, it's not good enough. It don't work. God justified Abraham when he was an uncircumcised Gentile. And that's the point that Paul's trying to make to these folks here in Galatia. All these folks came in and said, well, you got to... There's people, again, you have this Hebrew roots movement. And listen, we ought to understand the Old Testament. We ought to understand the types and the pictures that are there and the ceremonies. We ought to understand, you know, Israel and what it portends concerning the Lord's church. But we're not supposed to go back and become Israelites. We're not supposed to come back and come back, not national Israelites, not go back and become Jews. And I read people as, the Seventh-day Sabbath, you know, you need to do that. So I'm take it to the extent like the Seventh-day Adventists. And if you don't worship on Saturday, first-day worship is the mark of the beast. That's what the Seventh-day Adventists believe. But you can go back to the scriptures and see how the first day was foreshadowed and God was showing these things all in the Old Testament. But anytime you take your eyes off of Christ and start putting them on yourself or on some rite or some ritual, then you've left the truth of what is the gospel and what Christ accomplished. And if God could justify this uncircumcised Gentile, Abraham, then he can justify as many multitudes of uncircumcised Gentiles as he determines. And regardless of what these folks come and are preaching there in Galatia, the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ takes precedence. In Matthew 22, during the Lord's ministry, Matthew 22 and verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. And of course, these folks are trying to, again, catch the Lord in a trap. And it's interesting that none of them were able to do that. You know, it always come back down upon them. And they were like, what if this fellow dies and you believe in the resurrection, but this fellow's had a bunch of different wives through his life. They died and he's remarried. And when the resurrection comes, which one's going to be his wife? And that's the context of this. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, because some of these folks didn't believe in the resurrection. There's still some strands in Judaism that they don't believe in a resurrection. Paul talks about that. They're most miserable of people, but the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. The guy says that helps you remember, because that's why they're sad, you see. And that's why. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, ye have not read that which was spoken unto you by God. Listen, the scriptures are true. And it's important to read them as God sets them forth. Not to add our own little twists and to reinterpret them. And Christ said, you haven't read the scriptures. Because this is what the scripture says. I am the God of Abraham. And the God of Isaac. And the God of Jacob. Scripture says, I am the God of Abraham. And Isaac, and Jacob. And Christ said, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He didn't say, I was the God of Abraham, and I was the God of Isaac, and I was the God of... No, he says, I am the God of Abraham. Now, these folks were all physically dead. But the Lord said, you don't get it. Go back and read it again. They live. God says, I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Now, Scripture said that. And he's the only one. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. Abraham saw his day and rejoiced in it. Either Abraham saw the day of Christ and rejoiced in it, or Abraham's in hell. Neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. So Abraham saw his day and rejoiced in it. And he was the God of Abraham and of Jacob and of Isaac. And they live. These false teachers had come in there based upon their supposed relationship to Abraham, which physically they had a relationship to Abraham through Isaac. But all the Arabs have a relationship to Abraham through Ishmael too. You see? I mean, if that's the count for anything. And these false teachers had come in and claimed, you know, God called Abraham out from the Gentiles, which is true. And that he gave him the covenant of circumcision, which is not exactly true. You know, God gave Abraham the covenant, and he gave circumcision as a sign. And they said, well, therefore, unless these Gentiles follow the pattern of Abraham, they can't be saved. I mean, God called Abraham out, and he was circumcised. But again, they neglected to read the scriptures that he was declared righteous ever before there was anything called circumcision. Ever before that sign, that symbol had been given. And so Abraham was a Gentile, just like all these Galatians. When God revealed his truth to him, when God declared him righteous, and the only basis upon which that can be done is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And thus, these Galatians, who are these false teachers that come in and said, well, you know, to be the seed of Abraham, you got to get circumcised. No, they were already the seed of Abraham. I remember we looked at back in the passage where God said, you know, like the sand of the sea. Well, that spoke towards physical Israel. Like the stars of the sky, that speaks to those who have faith like unto Abraham's. The faith of Abraham. When you read that, it means we have that same faith that Abraham had, which is the faith of Christ. They were already the seed of Abraham. They didn't need to be circumcised in order to make themselves such. And the fact is that to do such is to try to bring yourself under the law. And if you bring yourself under the law, it can only bring condemnation. And Paul gets into that in the next several verses, and we'll at least read the next verse and go on from there. But he says in verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law. Remember we saw back there, he says, as many as are of faith. So now it's as many as are of the works of the law. You know, if you're in this group, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Not some of them are. as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Again, those that are of the works of the law, it speaks of a group that seek justification by the law. It's not saying that the law is a curse. The law is a good thing. I mean, I don't want them to tear down the Ten Commandments that are out there in front of the courthouse in Levy County, though the atheists try to do it every year. But there's no salvation in those. But Paul's going to get, and I have to get way ahead of myself, but Paul's going to bring us to that. That law is like a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. Helps us to see what, like that song I sang, you know, what wretches we are. But the fact is, all that seek justification by the law, all those that are of the works of the law, are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you just violate one law, one time, you're under the curse. One law, one time. So I'm going to turn over a new leaf. It's too late. And you can't anyway. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Okay, it doesn't say as many as were of the works of the law. You say, well, that must be talking about Old Testament Israel. It was, doesn't say as many as were of the works of the law. Doesn't say as many as do the works of the law. But brethren, we're all obligated to obey the revealed will of God. I mean, the works of the law ought to be done. And for Old Testament Israel, that would include the ceremonial law. But those that understood the relationships of those things, they weren't of the works of the law. They were of faith. They understood what those things were. But all who seek justification by the law, I didn't say some of them or most of them, all that seek justification by the law, all that are of the works of the law are under the curse. Well, that's kind of sobering. That's something that these Galatian saints need to think about. Said, you ought not be looking to the law for justification because there's none of that there. None of that there. And we'll continue on from there next week. We just thank God for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He was pleased to reveal to Abraham, and He's been pleased to reveal to the Galatians, and He's pleased to reveal to His saints. And there's no salvation in the law. And naturally, those that are His do the works of the law. Do those things. Not because they're afraid. We don't have to be scared. We do it out of love. And then it really gets done. But getting ahead of myself and too far ahead. Whatever. But we'll take our hymnals and we'll sing a closing hymn, number 183. Jesus, I my cross have taken. Number 183. Let's stand as we sing this closing hymn. Now from hence my all shall be.
every thought and wish on all our thoughts and hopes and known. Yet our wish is like a mission, God and earth are still my own. Let the world despise and leave me, they have left my Savior too. Human hearts and looks deceive me, thou art God like man untrue. And while thou shalt smile upon me, God of wisdom, love, and right, foes made and friends may shun me, show thy face and all is bright. And may trouble and distress me, dwell and thrive, but to thy breast life with trials hard may press me, and will bring me sweeter rest. Oh, 'tis God in grief to arm me, while thy love is left to me. Oh, 'tis God in joy to charm me, were that joy on this with thee. Haste me on from grace to glory, armed by faith and winged by prayer. Heaven's eternal lays before thee, God's own hand shall guide thee there. Soon shall close thy earthly mission, swift shall pass thy pilgrim days. Hope shall change to glad tribulation, faith to sight and prayer to praise.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together, Lord, for this little flock that assembles here. Father, we thank you for your word that you preserved. As our Savior said, every jot and tittle. Oh, we know that the words make a difference. I pray you help us to be aware of those things. Or that we might not be like some of those who sought to detract from our Savior. Who had no real understanding of the scriptures, though they counted themselves in many cases scholars. Father, I pray that you just speak to us, to reveal your truths to us, and you give us the grace to walk in your way. Lord, I pray in particular that we would never turn our sight from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to ourselves or some ritual, some action. But Lord, that you've accomplished it all and you should receive all the glory. And then in the light of that, Father, as we're told in Ephesians, that we're saved unto good works. Might you bring forth those things in your people. Father, I pray in particular for my brother Hal and his family at the passing of his father, all the other family members there as well. Thank you that Brother Hal can say his father gave a testimony looking to Christ. I just pray, Lord, that you might comfort as you alone can. that you might glorify yourself in all things. Pray for that family I mentioned that lost a father as well. Lord, help your weak, poor saints to realize that what comes our way, it comes by your hand. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That come what may, we can say this too as the hand of God. Whether we completely understand it or not, we can rest in that. Thank you again, Lord, for this assembly. Thank you for one another. Thank you for your everlasting love. Thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is all sufficient to complete his atonement. And we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.